Welcome back to the show, episode 92. I don't know if I have to say the number of the episode every time, but I don't know how else to start the show, you know? Welcome back to the show. Y'all motherfuckers know what time it is. No, you already know who it is. Yo, what up? It's your boy. I'm like, I've never seen you in my life. You already know who it is. I have no idea who it is. Shout out to everyone who messaged me this week saying that they enjoy the show. Couple nice messages. Shout out to David Lakin out in California, holding it down. He says he listens on the way to work. So that's cool. What's up, bro? So yeah, everyone that's saying they listen in the car on the way to work or at their desk. Hopefully you're not listening to this in the gym because I like to think it is a funny show. And that's how you get hurt, by laughing mid-set. I used to listen to some podcasts at the gym. I don't listen to anything anymore. But yeah, you'll be bench pressing and then all of a sudden you start laughing and you're like, oh shit, somebody get this off me. I almost got crushed listening to, Amigos, the Get the Bag. There's this one line. I don't know which one it is. I know it's like take off. Who is it? Who are the Amigos? Take off. Who's the guy that always goes, grandma? He's always got to shout out his grandma. She must be making some fire cookies. Back in the day, if you yell grandma in all your raps as an ad lib, what is it? Take off. How come I can't think of the Migos names right now. What's going on? You know, they can't be the Amigos because that's not cool. You got to drop the A. Migos. Take off. He's not even the real popular one. Who's the guy that's on every, people are listening to this, losing their minds, screaming. Well, you have a laptop here, Sean. Why don't you use that, huh? Why don't you open up? Why don't you do some fucking research before you start talking about some? Migos. Take off. Come on, I cannot think of this name. The whitest Google search. Who are the Migos? Oh, here we go. Who are the Russian oligarchs? Who are the Island Boys? Who are the members of NATO? Who are the Kardashians? Who are the founding fathers? Who are the seven dwarfs? Who are the richest people in the world? Huh, interesting. Who are the Migos? They are a hip-hop trio. Well, I know that. Ah, there we go. Quavo, Offset, and Takeoff. And they're from Georgia. Huh, they've been around since 2008? Damn. Or is that when the trio was formed? Yeah, so I was listening to Get the Bag by Gucci Mane, and then I think Quavo has a verse on there, and he said something about, I'm going to just play this song. This line almost cost me my life in the gym. I used to break in and enter, then take off running like the game of Temple. Remember that game on the iPhone, Temple Run? Dude, I almost crushed myself. The bar was like right off my chest. And right as I was about to do the rep, I hear, I take off and run off like the game of Temple. Bro, I don't know why I found that so funny. It was just so random. Oh, I just immediately started laughing. I was like, get this. It was like the most embarrassing moment ever in the gym. Because I didn't have a spotter. So I'm just like calling out for help. Fucking. I probably look like a psychopath because I was trapped under the bar, but I was also laughing hysterically. I break in, I enter, then I run off like the game of Temple. Mama! I'm just in tears. God, that's like one of the funniest lines. So yeah, shout out to everyone listening to the show, however you listen to it. Appreciate the messages. I will be opening for the very funny Ross Padgett on June 11th in Palm Harbor, Florida. More to come on that as the date approaches. If you don't know Ross Padgett, check him out. He was on episode 88. We did an hour and a half long episode. For those of you who want longer episodes, go check that one out. Very funny. So I'm excited to open for him. That'll be fun. And yeah, hope all's well in your world. I was watching the UFC fights last night. And who has the best cell phone coverage? Can we get an honest breakdown of the best cell phone provider? Every commercial is the same. Look at our fucking map. You know, Verizon's like, look at all this red shit. See how fucking awesome our service is? And then T-Mobile's like, look at our purple map. Or pink, whatever it is. Look at all these pink spots. We have the largest, fastest nationwide coverage. Everyone says the same thing. You know, then AT&T comes on. Psh, you've probably seen the Verizon map. Everyone has a shittier map of the other person. You know, it's like Verizon's will be all red. Then they'll show T-Mobile. It'll be like this tiny little blue. There'll be like a little blue specks. And like, look at T-Mobile's coverage. They suck. You know, everyone's got the fastest, strongest, greatest wireless provider of all time. No one knows. Anybody else? I don't know why I got so annoyed by that. There was like four different cell phone commercials on the same ad time. It was like back to back T-Mobile and then Verizon. They're like, you probably seen their coverage map. Those guys suck. Look at our map. Everyone wants you to look at their map. Who's drawing this thing? The CEO. He's like, yeah, paint the whole thing. Paint the entire United States red and tell them that's our coverage. I know somebody's lying. I think I've had every cell phone provider, and they all suck in certain areas. Let's just be honest. I don't know why I thought about this today. I was probably 9 years old. I played for the local YMCA basketball team. You know, it wasn't like a AAU, but every team had jerseys, their own color, and there was tryouts, and then they put you, you know, on a certain team. I lived in Virginia at the time, and we played this team from Baltimore, and I don't know why I remembered it. Probably because we just got our ass whooped so bad. It was just like, it was one of those memorable ass whoopings. Like, I have memories when I was little playing sports of, like, games we did really good, and then I have memories of, like, games where we were just slaughtered. And, yeah, I think our starting five was Pace, Connor, Eli, you know, not really names you hear in the NBA, all right? And we thought nothing of it, you know. I was usually the tallest on the court, so I would just get the ball if it came down for a rebound, and I wouldn't bring it back down. I would just throw it back up, and that way kids were, like, jumping up and holding onto my arms. You know, I'd get, like, foul calls, right? So that was our strategy. Just throw it to Pace for the three-pointer, or I'll get the rebound and just put it back up, and that's how we win games. But one day we played this team from Baltimore. So it was this all-black team. They show up. We're all warming up. We're like, oh, yeah, you know, we're probably going to win this game too because we were undefeated. And, dude, the whole team was matching. Same pair of Jordans. They had headbands with the NBA logo on them. Some guys had the shooting sleeve, which I guess keeps your arm warm while you're shooting. I don't know. They look like NBA bobbleheads that came to life. Just a bunch of little 9-year-old black kids. And we got fucking balled on, dude. They would come down, dribble behind the back, spin move. We're like, oh, we didn't even know you could do that. And we just got destroyed. I don't even remember the score. I just know it was bad. It was like 13-70. It was terrible. You know, they're all wearing Jordans. Half our team's wearing Skechers. A couple kids have Heelys on. No way we're going to win. Someone would get crossed. A Skecher would go flying. One of the kids, Eli, at the end of the game was crying. He was doing that ugly cry on the bench. And I was like, why are you crying? And he's like, I didn't get to score a basket. Just the ugliest cry. And his parents came over. You know, they were like 4'11" Jewish couple. And they're like, Eli, why are you crying? And he's like, I didn't get to make a basket. You know, and they're like, all right, well, quit fucking crying. It's not like you're going to the NBA anyway. You know, here's a book on finance. Yeah, I don't know why I remember that. It was just an ass whooping. I was just sitting there on the couch like, man, I took a huge L when I was 9. Just one of those random memories that's in your head. Do you wish you could delete storage in your brain? Like, I'm not saying I want to get microchipped, all right, Illuminati? But, you know, that's their end goal. We got to chip everyone so we know what they're thinking. You know, those fucking psychos. Why can't you just enjoy your money? Did the yacht get boring, billionaires? Now you got to try and microchip everyone, huh? You got to cut the food supply in half because you're bored? Psychopaths, dude. We need to microchip everyone. Okay, yeah, settle down. All right, drink some champagne. Let us do us. All right, you guys enjoy your trillions of dollars. But no, they got to fuck with everybody. If you know what I'm talking about. What was I even talking about? What else I do this week? I test drove a lot of cars, a lot of high-end sports cars. I was just kind of, like, bored, you know? That might be my new thing, just test driving cars every week. One, it's motivating to drive something insane, you know, something like 150 grand. Just haul ass on the highway for a little bit until the dealer goes, all right, let's exit. And I'm like, well, shit, I'm about to kick you out and drive this thing to Mexico. Yeah, I drove a few cars. I drove the BMW M8, and I drove the Jaguar F-Type. Always been a fan. Couldn't really fit in the F-Type, being 6'5". But yeah, it's my new favorite thing. Just go down to the lot, make up some story. You know, I walk right into the dealer. Hey, you know, I'm looking at the F-Type, thinking about getting it. I just don't know if I can fit in it. I'm like, okay, someone will be right there to help you. You know, so I'm out in the parking lot. Guy comes over. He's like, hey, well, you know, you're looking at the F-Type? Yeah, yeah, man. My brother just got this car. He's 5'10". You know, so he can fit in it fine. He won't shut up about it. He says he loves it. You know, I'm thinking about getting one too if I can fit in it. And they go, all right, well, let me go get the keys, you know, because I know what I look like, you know. I got the glasses, you know, you show up, hair combed, you got the glasses. I look like I have great credit, you know. I know what I look like. But you run my credit, you'll be like, oh, this can't be you. I go, yeah, there's no way my credit's that low. So, yeah, I was just test driving some cars. Damn, dude, it's motivating, bro, to just be in some shit, like, just what? Being like, wow, people just drive this every day. What a life. So, yeah, a little motivation. And, yeah, dude, it was just fun. It's always great when you're going to leave and they're like, do you want to go in and talk about the numbers? I go, yeah, we can talk about the numbers all you want. But I don't have $140,000. This one guy at BMW, he's like, what's your timeline on purchase? And I go, I don't know. Subscribe to the YouTube. You know, if you can get 100,000 people to subscribe to the YouTube, I'll buy it right now. How about that? What's your timeline on purchase? Oh, I don't know. I'm 119,000 short. My timeline on purchase. Oh, fuck yourself. So, yeah, that's my new thing. I watched this documentary on pillar people. People that live up on pillars back in the 15th century. It was very fascinating. It started off with this one guy. He was sick of society. And so instead of going into the woods, he lived on top of a pillar, like a column in front of a building, you know, just like a big concrete pole. But there's enough room to like sleep up there, sit, work out. And instead of disappearing by living up on a pillar, he became famous. Forget the guy's name. And people from all around the world would travel and visit him and climb up a ladder and bring him food. So essentially, this guy just figured out life. He lived on a very tall pole, got a great view of the city, just did crunches, push-ups, and people brought him food. And he slept up there. He was technically off-grid. Like, what a genius. Oh, I can just live up on a pillar. But then it became like a thing, or like not a religion or like a cult, but it became like a way of life. And they were just like pillar people. They were like monks, and they would just go up there and they relied on the villagers to bring them food, which is insane. Because if you think about it, the modern day equivalent would be like living in a one bedroom apartment and then just getting DoorDash all day for free. Wild. I don't know if I could. I mean, I don't know. You just get tan and shredded and you just live on top of a pole. People bring you food and they say what's up to you. Yeah. Fascinating. Type it in. 15th century pillar people. They have like paintings of them. Like old ancient paintings. Nuts. I mean, yeah, you have. If people are bringing you food in the 15th century, like why? You don't need a job. You don't need nothing. You're just chilling on a pole. What else are you going to do? The thing that I thought was funny is you're living up on a pillar and an army comes and invades, kills your whole village. You're just up there chilling, you know? It's the perfect spot for an invasion. That had to have been terrifying back then when you're like, your job is to be the guy on top of the castle looking down And then one day a guy on a horse comes over and you're like, oh, look at this guy on a horse. He must be delivering a message. And then the rest of his squad comes over and you're like, oh, shit. Oh, fuck. Some guy at the bottom of the castle is like, what do you see? And you're like, oh, it's not good. It's not good over here. The first time you see a catapult, they just hurl a big-ass boulder at you. You're like, guys, they're throwing rocks. And like, what do you mean? They go, I don't know. They got this wooden thing that's fucking shooting flaming balls. I've never seen this before. Just be up there chilling, talking to your boy like, yeah, man. This chick was crazy, dude. Last night she was all over me. And then you just see, you just hear. You're like, whoa, what the fuck is that? Just see a whole squad like 4,000 deep on horseback, armored up. You're like, ah, oh, fuck, dude, I don't want to do this today. I don't want to defend the castle today. I barely slept last night. What the hell? This is bullshit. And you got to pour hot oil on someone trying to get into your drawbridge. That was one of their defense mechanisms. You know, they would just pour oil on people. Flaming hot oil. If only they knew they could have put it in a car. I spent way too much time in school just daydreaming about what I would bring back to medieval times. Like, what invention would you bring? Obviously, a cell phone would fuck people up. But you also don't want to get executed. You know, as soon as you bring something back from the future, they just go, he's a witch, and then you're dead. He's a sorcerer. Black magic. And they just spear you. And you're like, oh, guys, no, I'm trying to help. Ugh. I thought like a Polaroid camera would just rock the medieval world. If you were the one guy with a Kodak camera and you just, the flash goes off, they're like, whoa, oh my lord. You know, you're like, well, that's not even the cool part, guys. That's just the flash. Wait for the photo, you know. They're beating you with clubs and you're like, no, the photo is almost ready. You show them the first ever selfie. In the 12th century, they would just lose their mind. First thing they do is take it from you. I always thought it'd be funny to have a tank in medieval times. You're just chilling. They're hitting your tank with a sword. Ting, ting. You know, they don't have the technology to get in there. If you just had a Brinks truck in medieval times, it'd be hilarious, dude. Drive that right through the battlefield, just running over people. They would have no idea. You'll never think about that shit? Just like what? What was the one thing you would bring back in the day that would just blow someone's mind? I mean, shit, a flashlight. Dude, you brought a flashlight in the medieval times and they're all walking around with lanterns and you just... Ch-ch-ch. You got a flashlight, you're like, nah, we're good, I'll lead the way. They're like, holy shit, what is that? They would call it like, the torch of the gods. You're like, no, this is a... This is a flashlight I got from the dollar store. You'd be like, you'd be king. He has the torch of the gods. It would have to be something that only you knew how to use, because as soon as they figured out how to use it, they would just kill you. Huh. I would say like a gun would be cool, but some of those guys were so good with bow and arrows that they're almost better than your gun. I mean, yeah, better. But some of those dudes with the arrows, they're super accurate, like scary accurate. What else, man? I bought a pair of shoes this week that I didn't even really need, but I was hyped up. I got hyped. There was a hype man in the corner of the store that solidified my purchase. I was looking, you know, like the little mirror at the shoe store where you're like, ah, I kind of like these. You know, you're checking out the different angles. You're like, ah, I don't know. I was about to put them back, and this fat black dude from across the store goes, oh, that's all you, player? That's all you, player, boy? And I'm like, yeah, it's fuck. This is me. These are me. You know, I was like, really? And he's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's all you right there. And I'm like, you know what? This is all me. And I bought him. And then about halfway home, I just looked at him in the passenger seat. The box of shoes. And I just went, I think that guy fucking worked there. Just like an undercover employee. He's on commission. They just plant him in the side of the store. All right, you're going to stand here next to the shoe mirror and you're just going to hype people up into buying shoes. That's what I would do if I had a shoe store. Just have a fly-ass black dude in the corner just hyping people up. I don't know if I like these. Oh, that's fucking you, playboy. And they're like, oh, this is me, you know. I felt confident as hell, bro. I got the freaking Rick Ross was in the corner telling me I look fly, bro. That's the one. That's how you know you're fresh. Either a black dude compliments your shoes or a gay dude is like, yeah, you know how to dress. You know? I had a gay roommate in LA and he would always invite like, there would always be like just supermodels at the house. And you just come home from your, I would come home from driving Uber and there'd be like 10 models on my couch. And I'm like, oh, interesting. Yeah. This isn't the normal. This isn't how it usually is for Uber drivers, having just model. Most Uber drivers don't have models on their couch. Okay, I was like, I'm about $30 million away from this actually happening. But since he's my gay roommate, it's just a free pass to the top as far as like women goes. You know, they're just always in the house. And so we'd go out at night sometimes in West Hollywood and they'd be like, oh, put these shoes with this. You know, like they're literally like, models and a gay dude pick out what you're going to wear tonight. You know you're fresh, bro. You know you left the house with confidence if you have, you know what I mean? And that was the funniest thing about like going out in West Hollywood being a straight guy was like the women that are in the club, they're always surrounded by gay dudes. And so when they find out that you're not gay, they're like, oh my God, you become like, you know, you're like the slim, you don't even have to be like good looking. You're just not gay. You know what I mean? Very interesting dynamic. Fun times. One of my clients I was selling this week, the wife spoke English. By the way, if this is your first time listening, we don't really have segments here. There's no like, actually we do have one segment. It's targeted ads. So every week I get like a crazy targeted ad. I'll get a weird ad on like Google or Instagram. And I have to share it with you because it's just absurd. But yeah, I just have little bullet points here, and I just skip from one to the other because it's just me. There's no segues, so bam, bam, bam. That's just how we do the show. Maybe I'll have a segue into another subject, but usually it's just boom, 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 and that's why the show's 20 minutes long because we just hit the bullet points and we're out. So that's how we do it. Will it ever change? Maybe. The show has been evolving since day one. But yeah. Episode 92, this is how we're rocking it. So I met a Russian couple this week, Elena, and I don't know the husband's name because he doesn't speak English, but I didn't know that. So I'm sitting there talking to the husband, and he's just sitting there nodding. And then she goes, oh, he doesn't speak English. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then I find out they've been in America since like the 80s. So I'm like, all right, that's weird. He doesn't speak English, and he's been in the country since, I don't know, 42 years. Now, here's the thing. I understand if you're Mexican and you are in America and you've never learned the language. I understand that because there are so many communities of just everyone you interact with is Mexican. Mexican store, you know, a marketplace, your job. Everyone speaks Spanish 24/7. You're never really around. You go around white people, but you don't really need to talk to them. You know what I'm saying? So you can just ride it out knowing Spanish your whole life. Don't ever have to learn the language. I got that. But Russian? Who the fuck are you talking to? You're just a Russian in America and you don't know how to speak English. And so the wife, Elena, she worked for UCF, University of Central Florida. She's like a... she's like a professor there or something, or a spy. But the husband's definitely intelligence, because how are you in America for 42 years and you only speak Russian? Are you going to the grocery store and just nod? You can't talk to anybody? It was so weird. I'm talking to him for like 20 minutes, and then I realized like he just has no idea what the fuck I'm saying. It was so weird. Who are you? First of all, who sent you? You know, that's my favorite thing to say to foreigners. Like someone from China, I'm like, who sent you? They're like, what? I'm here on vacation. I'm like, nah, let's be real. Who the fuck sent you? These are jokes. But yeah, it was just like, dude, how? You know, You see what I'm saying? Like, if you're Mexican in America, boom, you can completely get by without knowing English. But to be Russian in America, like, who? No, not many people speak Russian that I know of. Even people that took Russian in college, like, you mean, like, you know, like, my mom, I think she said she took French, and she's like, oh, I don't remember any of it, you know? So how do you, isn't it, like, Russian, like, and Chinese and all that? It's, like, a completely different alphabet. Wild. So I was just laughing, like, who are you, how do you go about life? Nothing is written in Russian. You know, there's Spanish and in English, but nothing is written in Russian. Very weird. One of the guys I played golf with this week went to his high school reunion, which I forgot was even a thing. I don't even think my high school has a reunion. I don't even know if there's, I don't really even know who's alive in my senior class. You know, we had about 500 seniors, and I think 200 of them graduated. And most of them are either dead or in jail. You know, I remember one kid, a lot of kids didn't even make it to graduation, which was sad. A kid in my English class that sat next to me, rest in peace, he got shot with a spear gun, like a Malibu's Most Wanted weapon. We were just like, where's what? We're like, where's what's his name? And they're like, oh, he got shot with a spear gun this weekend. One of his friends must have thought he was like a big fish or something off in the distance, which is a hell of a way to go, dude. Oh, my God. Get shot with a spear? That's a fucking third world death in America. I mean, what a brutal way to go out. Rest in peace. But yeah, it was just like all kinds of just kids like that. Plus, I would never go to my high school reunion. I didn't even want to go to regular high school. You think 10 years later I'm going to fucking show up and see you morons again? Hell no. I barely wanted to go in the first place. Do you think anyone's ever shot up their high school reunion? It's our 10-year anniversary. We're all meeting at the Applebee's and someone just shows up. I should have done this 10 years ago. Ta, ta, ta. These are jokes. There's nothing funny about mass shootings. Yes, there is, if you make it funny. But yeah, speaking of high school, I went on Facebook for the first time in a while. I have two Xboxes that I'm trying to sell on Facebook Marketplace, and no one's buying them. But I went on, I went on Facebook, and the first thing I see, there's like a 300 comment thread about high school football. People are posting pictures from my high school team. They're like, dude, I really miss this shit, man. These were the days. These were the best days. Dude, anyone who says high school was the best years of their life is a fucking loser. A loser. You ever hear like someone else's parents like, oh, enjoy high school. It's the best years of your life. Yeah, if you're a fucking loser. If you're a nobody. If you've never done anything. Oh my God. If high school was the best years of your life, you fucked up somewhere. I mean, I enjoyed high school football, but I'm not sitting here dwelling on it. I'm not like thinking like, I'm not daydreaming about it. Like, oh man, remember high school football? No. All right? It's done. Move on. You guys are almost 30. You're still talking about playing wide receiver in sophomore year. Shut your mouth. Go do something. I made a huge mistake in high school football. When I was a freshman in high school, when our season ended, the varsity team was going to the state championship, and so they moved up people. So they moved up. I don't know. I don't remember the process, but I got moved up to varsity. I played tight end, and I was kicker. Here I am talking about high school football after I just shit on people that were talking about it. But I got moved up to varsity as a freshman, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. I'm like, oh my God, I'm a freshman on varsity. You know, I'm going to get so, dude, girls are just going to flock to me. But you never get to play. You're just like second, third. You're basically third string. What you really are, which I didn't know, and I'll take it back. I won't take it. I don't regret anything. But they move you up from a freshman. You're basically a crash dummy for the varsity players. So I remember every day, I had to line up in front of this kid named Stephen Gainey, which he was actually my sister's teacher in elementary school. His mom was Mrs. Gainey. So her son, I don't know, dude, some of these Southern football kids, bro, I don't know what they're fed, but they're like 17 years old. They're like 6'5", 400 pounds, just fucking animals, right? You're like, have you been getting steroids? Were there steroids in your bottle as a baby? How the fuck are you this big? So I'm like 5'10". No, I'm a freshman. I'm like, had to be no taller than like 5'7". Maybe a 130, soaking wet. And every day, dude, I just had to run into this fucking monster of a human being, full speed. And like, I remember I would run at him full speed, and then I would start backpedaling before he just leveled me. And sometimes I would hit him and I'd be all right, but sometimes I'd just get hit and just fly off my feet and land on my back. Like, you just get annihilated by these guys. But the one thing is that I will say, despite going to bed with a headache every night, I mean, I could have probably been concussed 100 times, who knows. But that was the other thing. It's like, how am I supposed to do good in school when you get up at 6, get to school at like 7, go through the whole day, then you have football practice, you get your ass whooped, and now you got to go home and do homework? Like, what the fuck that? So yeah, every day I would just run into this kid, and I would tell my sister, I'm like, yo, ask this kid's mom what is this kid's diet? You know? Like, some kids in high school are like, it was like if you watch like old like Kobe Bryant or like LeBron James footage where they're just like dunking on high school kids, and you're like, I don't know. It's just like some kids seem like they're 30 years old in high school. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, I would just run into this guy every day. And it did teach me one thing, that like, I'm not scared to like, you know, they called it bang with someone. You know, you get the paint streaks from the helmet, the face mask on your helmet, and it just looked cool. Your jersey's ripped, you know, like, oh, okay. Okay, Madden's banging. Little do they know, I'm like terrified. Every play, hut hike, I'm like, boom. You know, but I'm like, hey, at least I know I can like run into somebody. You know, I did it. A lot of kids were like, that were better than me, were like, fuck that, I'm not going to varsity. I'm not going to get run over every day. Those were the smart ones. You know, here I am thinking like, dude, I'm on varsity. No one cares. You're a fucking crash test dummy. You know, you're just supposed to see if the helmet, I was basically seeing how much the abuse the helmet could take, how much impact. That's what I was, just a rag doll for the varsity team. But yeah, school was just weird, man. I thought about this one kid, I think I was telling Chip, I had a deaf kid in my class, this kid, Zach, and he would wear a do-rag some days, he'd always have a snapback on, and he would wear a basketball jersey, and he would just show up, he'd wear headphones, even though he probably couldn't hear, you know, the music that was playing, but no, he was just kind of immune to the rules, because the teachers knew that they couldn't talk to him. You know, oh, and it was just, I had him in math, and dude, it was just, you have to laugh. So he would raise his hand, the teacher would go, yes, Zach, and then he'd go, can I eat a bathroom? Can I eat a bathroom? And that was, can I use the bathroom? And dude, me and my friend Alberto, we would just fucking crack up laughing, bro. And the teacher would be like, what'd you say, Zach? And I'm like, you know what the fuck he's trying to say. All right? Don't make him say it again. I'm trying to focus. Can I eat a bathroom? That's so fucked up, dude. But he was like the coolest kid, dude. He'd always dap you up. He'd go, well, man. Yo, well, man. How you? Well, man. Yeah, that's just how he talked. But yeah, he'd act like he was dribbling a basketball. He was one of those kids. He was always dribbling a basketball. Just the funniest. And you'd wave to him and he would just smile. Like, just the funniest. Yo, what up, mate? Can I eat a bow? God, dude. Oh, man. There's just so many of those, like, scenarios in school where I'm like, how am I supposed to focus? I had a kid, you would think I was in the special class if I explained some of these stories. I had a kid with Tourette's in my 7th grade math class. He would he would elbow himself in the forehead, like with the outside of his arm. He would just bam, bam. He would just freak out. He goes, I fucking hate math. And then he would just headbutt himself like a few times. Or he would hit himself with the calculator. And it's just like you feel bad for someone that has that condition. But like, bro, I can... How are you going to put me next to the kid that's smashing his calculator into his head because he can't figure out the problem? He actually had a, I don't know what you call it, a chaperone or a liaison that was with him 24/7. And her only job was to dive in front of the elbow and stop him from hitting himself. So as soon as he started freaking out and going, I hate math, she would have to like grab the elbow and like hold it down. She was like Secret Service to the president. As soon as the gunshots went off, she had to fucking like tackle him. Stop him, dude. But it was just like, dude, why can you stop putting me in these classes? You know, I'm like, back then they had a class for these kids. You know, like, hey, all the kids with Tourette's in this class. But no, they just mixed them up. So now I just have pure entertainment in my class. But yeah, man, that was a fun episode. I think I talked about a lot more than I had planned, which is always good. So, see, I think that'll do it for episode 92. Thank you for listening, man. Thank you for all the messages saying you like the show. It's really cool to see who's listening. Thank you for all the reviews on Apple, Spotify. Hit the 5 stars, hit the thumbs up, whatever you're listening to. If you're on the YouTube, hit the subscribe button, man. I really appreciate it. And, yeah, I just love doing this show weekly. Hopefully I'll get to do it more consistently. And we'll keep it pushing. I will see you next week for episode 93. Thank you for listening. You want to smoke something? You've seen him perform all over LA. Give it up for Sean Madden, everybody. What have we got here? A fucking comedian. This show's not going to go.